1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's go to verse 4 and we'll go down. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous, love does not brag, it is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, Lord, and we thank you, God, for just this, God, a wonderful writing of Paul, God, to really, Lord, put down in words exactly the goal of our lives, God, which is to love. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, God, right now in the different stages of our lives, God, to be more loving. Lord, to be a people, God, and a church, Lord, that's full of your love, God, and expresses that love to others, Lord. God, we ask, Lord, that you would come and release to us, God, today, the revelatory ministry of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today. God, we thank you so much, God. We bless you. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you have a good time this week celebrating someone? Yeah? Did everyone do it? Right? I hope everyone's kind of... I can tell if you didn't do it because you're not looking at me. Right? So people that don't give me eye contact, that probably means, yeah, I didn't do it, or else you're a good liar, you know, one way or the other. But I hope that we continue on and really celebrate each other, right? And especially as we continue talking about relationships. And today I'm going to talk about a kind of a different aspect of that, but all centered around the whole idea of love. You know, the word love is a wonderful but a totally confusing word. Right, probably the most used word in our human language, and yet one of the most misunderstood words as well. Right, love makes us do incredible things. It also makes us do very insane things. You know, how many of you guys have ever heard the term? Oh, I did it because of love. Right, I mean, we hear it all the time. I can remember a long time ago. I probably shared this a long time, but I remember when I was in China. This is probably about 1992. And I just gotten saved, and I was riding in a bus, and we're going to another town to play basketball. And as we're going through, I was just looking at fields and fields and fields of really nothing, you know. And as I was in the bus, just driving along, and my thoughts kind of just escaped me, you know. But I can remember very distinctly God asking me, Sam, could you come live out here, right, into these farms, you know, and plant a church out there, or do something, or minister out there for the rest of your life? Would you be content with that? You know, and I remember just having, actually the nice little dialogue turned into an argument very quickly with God. You know, I just remember saying, you're crazy, man. You know, what are you talking about? And, you know, back and forth, on and on and on. But this thought came to me. And I thought, Lord, I know this sounds really cheesy, right? But Lord, if you give me someone, right? In other words, if you gave me a wife, right? If you gave me someone that would love me and I could love her, then yeah, I would do it. You know, I mean, that's what love propels us to do these kinds of things. You know, it was the love of Christ that propelled him to go on the cross and die for us, to enter into shame and humiliation. Love makes us do crazy things. I mean, let's be honest, right? Love also makes us do very wonderful things. You know, and many of you spent this week celebrating someone, which was a very wonderful thing. You know, yesterday I was just sitting growing in Christ, and one of our brothers came in and said, oh, here, just tossed it. And I was like, what's this for? You know, I was like, you know, this is kind of an unexpected gift and an unexpected time, right? We talked about last week. You know, and I just said, what is it all about? And I think Marcia was in the back, and she said, just because. And I'm like, all right. She got the gist of the message. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it'd be good for you to listen to last week's message to keep you on track. Right, love was the real thing that Jesus said would distinguish his followers from everyone else. In John 13:35, he says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Right, love is a wonderful thing, but love is also a very confusing thing. An adulterous man gets in a relationship, right, or a man commits adultery, gets in a relationship, you know, and he says, "It's love." Right? Well, the pastor says, no, that's sin. Right? You know, an alcoholic's wife picks up the pieces, you know, and acts as if nothing is wrong, you know, after the husband goes on another binging, you know, spree. And she says, that's love. I did it because of love. And the psychologists say, no, that's codependency. Right? We have different situations in our life. A parent indulges in every whim of the child and calls it love. And the child and the family therapist calls it irresponsible parenting. Right? Love is very confusing to us. Even the word itself is totally confusing, especially the way we use these words. You know, we come across and, you know, people look and, you know, I know women are into shoes. Man, I love those shoes. You know, and then we turn around and say to Jesus, I love you. It's kind of like, you know, it doesn't make sense. Do you remember when you were a little kid? You know, and I did this even when I was a big kid. You know, and I can remember Lisa saying, you know, I love pasta. You know, and being a smart ally, I said, why don't you marry it then? Right? But, you know, I know, really bad. But we first heard that when we were kids, right? But do you know how true that statement is? We have so misused that word, right? Love should be confined to, you know, a certain area or an arena of life, but we use it everywhere. You know, I mean, we can go around the room and share 100 things that we love, but do we really mean what we say? You know what I mean? I think it's true, right? If you really love somebody, you should marry it. You know, bottom line for each one of us, we talk about it again and again, right? We need love and we need affection. There's not a single person in this room that can do without any of these things. No matter how strong we think we are, no matter how independent we think we are, every single one of us, we need to be loved and we need the affection, right? At the heart of mankind's existence is the desire to be intimate and to be loved by another. This is the heart of our existence, right? Child psychologists affirm that every child has certain basic emotional needs that must be met if he is to be emotional, or if that child is to be emotionally stable. None is more basic than the need for love and affection. The need to sense that he or she belongs and is wanted. Right? With a child with an adequate supply of affection, the child will likely develop into a responsible adult. Without love, the child will be emotionally and socially retarded. We've seen this, right? We see this in the movies. We've seen this among friends and peers and colleagues of ours. You know, there is an innate need. Every single one of us is for love. I'm getting a lot of this coming material coming later on out of a book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And so if you read that, you'll get the gist of what I'm talking about. But The Five Love Languages is written for married couples. And so I've had to kind of tweak everything because obviously there's only like 4 married couples in this room, right? So I'll only be speaking to one small segment of our population and things. And so you got to take it with a grain of salt. But I recommend each of you reading this book to kind of further enhance what I'm talking about. Chapman talks about in the book the love tank. I know it sounds really cheesy, but it's actually quite good. And he calls it this emotional love tank. And he uses it in terms of children. He says, when a child feels love, he will develop normally. When the love tank is empty, the child will misbehave. You know, and out of the child psychologist and the whole point of view is that children most likely generally misbehave because they're not receiving the love that they should be receiving. Every child should be receiving love. You just have to recognize that. You know, every single one of you, you know, after service, you go to the back of the room and you assault little Elise, you know, and just, you know, love her and all these things. Man, you're committing a holy act because every child deserves that. And now we say every child, but every human adult deserves that as well. We all need to feel love. We all need to feel appreciated. We all need affection in our life, right? We need our love tank to be full. You know, and a lot of times we act out or we commit things that we shouldn't commit or all these things because that love tank is not full. I mean, it's as simple as it may sound, right? And we will, like children, we will misbehave in the same way. You know, I could think of, when I'm, even like in terms of, because, you know, Lisa and I, you know, obviously we're married, you know, and so, you know, when I feel very short with her sometimes, and I was kind of doing this this past week a little bit, you know, I was a little short, and, you know, kind of raised my eyebrows, you know, all those things that women hate from their guys, you know, but I was doing these things, you know, and as I look back, it's as a result of that my love tank is not full. You know, it doesn't mean that Lisa's not doing her job, right? But, you know, for some reason, I'm just out of balance there. You know, and as a result, I lash out or I say things that I shouldn't say. And, you know, and that's not an excuse in any way, you know, but quite frankly, my love tank was not full. You know, something in our nature, every single one of us, cries out to be loved by another. This is why isolation is devastating to the human psyche. Do you know, if you were a prisoner, you know the worst thing that someone can do to you? You know what it is? Solitary confinement. Study after study after study has shown that solitary confinement is probably the cruelest form of punishment, you know, that we can ever have. Because our nature, every single one of us, is to connect, is to relate with one another. Why? Because we were made in God's image, and God made us for relationship, right? And so that's burned deeply inside every single one of us, right? I mean, if you really want to make someone feel really bad, just set them alone by themselves. You know, the enemy likes for people to be alone. If you notice, that's what the enemy's strategy is. He'll try to get you alone, get you away from everyone else, get you alone so he can devour you, right? That's kind of his plan A that we get to, you know? And so, you know, we come to this question, and we talked about this for a long time here and there. Well, we're convinced that we need love. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. We all need to be loved. You know, but the real question is, how do I get it? Right? You know, and we have to refine the question a little bit even more, because the question is not, you know, what can I do to become lovable? Right? That's quite selfish, to be honest. Right? But the real question is, how can I become loving? You know, and this is where we all are at. You know, be it married or single or divorced or, you know, I mean, whatever, you know, background, young, old, you know, we all come to this place and say, well, how can I become a loving person? Or how can I be more loving? Right? And we need to understand, as well in each of us, that every person is unique. Our likes, our dislikes, our personality traits, our background, our upbringing, all these things make up, right, who we are. Right, and unique to each individual is the way that each of us interprets love. In other words, how we receive and how we give love to other people. Right, the key of how to be loving in a lot of ways is finding out, well, how do I best receive love? And how does the person that I'm trying to love best receive love? And how can I offer that to that person? Right, this is what we call a love language. Every single one of us, we have a love language. Right, you know, love. This, you know, I say on a side note, like this, love requires effort and discipline. Right, love. Right, we say it all the time. Right, love is a verb. Love is a choice. I know it's also the goosebumps and oh, I feel good and you know, kind of, you know, like I'm on cloud nine kind of thing. Trust me, that fades very, very quickly. Right, that honeymoon stage fades very quickly. Right, love is a choice. Right? It's a choice to expend energy in an effort to benefit the other person. Knowing that if the other person's life is enriched by your effort, you too will find great satisfaction. Right? And so, is the person that you want to love, is that person worth the effort? You know? I mean, a lot of times that's what it really comes down to. You know, sometimes if my wife and I, if we get into an argument, you know, and you know, and sometimes it comes down to very basic, you know, stupid things a lot of times. You know, and I have to sit back and say, well, is this worth the effort to give, you know? I mean, I share with you so much about my dishwashing saga, right? You know, I used to hate washing dishes, you know, and it would bother my wife, obviously, you know, but I just didn't like it. I never washed dishes when I was little. My mom always did that, you know. I never stepped foot in the kitchen, you know. That was not a place where a guy was supposed to be in my upbringing, right? It's not. I'm not trying to be macho or anything like that. But just that's just the way I grew up, you know. But obviously, it kind of bugs my wife a bit, you know. Not that she's a petty person or anything, but you know, she's in there. She cooks the meal, and you know, and then she's cleaning, and I'm sitting in front of the TV watching ESPN. Whoops, sorry. You know what I mean? Then it's kind of like, figure it out, man, right? And so, you know, obviously I come to the point and I have to ask myself, well, is it worth the effort, you know? Because, you know, there's a lot of things I've done in my life, you know, that kind of, you know, as we're talking about the uniqueness of people, it kind of did for people that was really not for really their benefit, for my benefit. I can remember one Christmas trying to decide what I should get my older sister for a Christmas present. You know, just, you know, went through, you know, our you know, when you're a little kid, your mom takes you to the mall and you walk around the store and you figure it out. And I found the perfect gift for my sister, popcorn maker, right? obviously it wasn't for her, it was for me, you know, and stuff. And, you know, I mean, I used to do that kind of stuff. You know, I kind of get presents for that person. You know, I get my brother a shirt, make it a little bit bigger so it doesn't fit him, and so I could wear it. You know, it's, I know, it's okay. Is that bad? Wow, to elicit a response like that? You know, and we need to recognize that every single one of us, right, as unique individuals, there's a language of love that each of us have. Our goal is to find out, what is it? You know, with my wife and I, my goal is to find out, well, what's her love language? How can I best express that love? Let me give you a classic example, especially, you know, among Asians and immigrant parents. Our parents work really hard, right? Our dad's working hard. He's never home. He's out. He's doing stuff. And so the way that he expresses his love is he buys gifts, right? Buys the kid a car, right? Buys the kid this, takes the kid here, sends him on tennis camps here. You know, that's what they do. You know, but the kid, the primary need, the love language of the child is not gifts. It's quality time. And so the father gets upset. Look, I'm giving you all these things. How come you're so bitter towards me? How come you don't express love back? You know, and the kids just want, I don't want the stuff. I just want to spend time with you. You know, and thus you have this thing. And the father thinks that he's loving. And the child is thinking, that's not loving. You know, I don't want this stuff. You know, and so there's this clash that happens. It's a classic example. This also happens in, you know, with relationships with couples and especially parents and their children. You know, we seem to assume things upon other people. You know, because a lot of times, you know, like if I like to receive gifts, you know, and that could be, that's not my primary love language, but if that could be, you know, then I like to receive gifts, and we can kind of, you know, propose that everyone likes to receive gifts, and that's the primary way that we offer the love, but it doesn't really meet people where they're at, their primary need. And so we need to figure out, you know, if you're trying to love your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad or your wife or a husband or your significant other or your colleague, whatever it is, you need to find out, what is the language, the primary language of love that I can meet that need, right? I mean, that's when relationship becomes rich. That's when it becomes beautiful. That it becomes not about me, but it becomes about that person. How can I benefit that person? And the best way is to find out exactly what it is that the person really, or the way that person really receives that love, and then offer that love to them, right? We have to connect, right? We have to connect in a certain way. Now, Chapman writes, there's five main languages. I'm going to deal with one today, and then the next few weeks deal with the other ones. And today's a long introduction, so it'll be a lot quicker as times go on. There's five love languages. If you're familiar, number one, it's called words of affirmation, okay? Another love language is called quality time. Another one is receiving gifts. Number four is acts of service. And number five is physical touch, okay? Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch, right? Usually misunderstandings of love occur when each one of our love languages is mistaken or taken for granted or whatnot, right? Like I said before, every single one of us, and as we go through this, you'll begin to pinpoint your primary love language. And this will be really important for you, because then you begin to really process, you know, how people really love you. And we have a couple different languages. We have a language in which we receive love, but we also have a language in which we give love, right? And so it's very different. And hopefully, the primary love language in which you give love corresponds to the language in which people will receive that love, right? Or the way that they receive that love. You know, for Lisa and I think Lisa's, her primary love language is spending time. And mine is giving gifts and stuff. And so I give her these gifts. It doesn't mean anything to her. She just wants to spend time. You know, not just time, but quality time, right? This is where I'm not very good. I spend time, but not the quality time. Which means turning the TV off, right? And so that's a tough one, man, and stuff. So you just got to be careful of the words, okay? It's not just time, all right? So number one, words of affirmation, right? This could be your primary love language. Words of affirmation. Mark Twain said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment, right? Which is pretty cool, right? You know? And we kind of sometimes we operate in this, right? One way to express love emotionally is to use words that build up, right? It's to use words that build up. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Right? There's power in our speech. You know, there's power, you know, especially, I mean, there's a lot of power in our lack of speech as well. You know, even on the way, you know, for some reason, I find that these days my hearing is really going to the pits. You know, and if I'm going to be really honest, and if my wife and I, we get any little tiffs, is because I just fail to listen. You know, I don't necessarily know if I can't hear, or maybe I just don't listen. Right, I don't know if it's one or the other. I hope it's I can't hear. Even on the way to church, you know, I told you, right? The most volatile time for a pastor is on the way to church, man. You know, and so on the way to church today, Lisa was in the back, you know, holding the baby, and, you know, baby had the iron grip on something, you know, and she said, man, you know, I know you know this, but, man, doesn't Elise have such a powerful grip? You know, and I just was driving. I didn't, you know, it wasn't a question, right? So I didn't respond back, and then, you know, how come you don't listen to me, blah, blah, you know, it's not good for me and things, and it's totally my fault, right? And so sometimes it's a lack of, you know, we should turn that speaker off in the back rooms. Sorry, honey. It's totally my bad. I'm a bad, bad husband, right? Thank you. Right, but, you know, it's the affirmation, right? It's these words, you know, these verbal compliments that are words of appreciation. These are powerful communicators of love. You know, and they're best expressed in simple, straightforward statements of affirmation. Right? I mean, just really, really simple statements. You know, you don't have to get all flowery and, you know what I mean? You know, we're not talking about flattery. No, we're just talking about really simple. You know, it's like, head on, you look really, really nice in that pink sweater. Or that jacket. You know, something so simple, right? You know, Jane, you look so nice today in that beautiful blouse, right? You know, I know, it sounds so cheesy, right? No, but I'm obviously, I say what I mean. You know, it's just so simple, you know, to say this. You know, say, Sean, you are one good-looking guy, right? Actually, you could pray for Sean and I. We're trying out for the Amazing Race. Together and stuff. So we're going to send in our video next week. You know, we thought the kind of the pastor-magician combination, you know what I mean? Asian, white guy, you know, it's like, we're in for sure, man. And so we're gonna try to go for that. So, you know, and I couldn't pick a better partner than you, Sean. My brother. Right? Now, obviously, right, you don't use flattery to get what you want. You know, that's cheesy, right? I mean, it's quite cheap. This is what Chapman writes. The object of love is not getting something you want, but doing something for the well-being of the one you love. It is a fact, however, that when we receive affirming words, we are far more likely to be motivated to reciprocate, right? The object of love is not getting something you want, but doing something for the well-being of the one that you love. That's what it's all about, right? And I mean, if we're slick enough, you know, we can be smooth talkers, you know, and use words to get things what we want and stuff, but it doesn't work, right? It doesn't benefit anyone. But our words of affirmation are there to benefit the well-being of that person. Let me illustrate even more. You know, we talked a little bit about encouragement. You know, encourage, you know what the literal translation of encouraging is? It's to inspire courage. Did you know that? That's where the word comes from, to inspire courage. Now, this is what true encouragement is. We all have areas of our life where we feel very insecure. I mean, don't we? You know, we all have areas of our life where we're quite timid in. You know, we all have, you know, feelings of insecurity. We lack courage in different areas of our life. And a lot of these things hinder us from accomplishing positive things that we would like to do. You know, in Chapman's book, he has an illustration of this woman, and she was a writer, and she was writing, and she thought she was a pretty good writer, and she thought that maybe some things can get published, and she wrote an essay to some competition or something that it was, and she got back, and it came back as a rejection, and so she never wrote again. You know, she put it away, she got married, had kids, you know, and her husband actually picked up an old short story that she had written. And he was in the den and he's reading it. And he really enjoyed her writing and went back, and she was reading something, went back into where found where her wife was, or his wife was, and said, "Man, I just read this story. This was incredible. Man, you are an incredible writer. You know, you should write more and do things and get your work published, and I'm sure people will buy it." You know, and so he left the meeting and he just kind of walked out. He just kind of, what a nice husband, right? You know, he kind of walked out, and what happened to the wife, she was sitting, she put the book away, and she thought for about 30 minutes about the words that he had shared. You know, and you know, also thinking about the rejection that she had felt, but his words overrode that rejection, and she decided to start writing again. Well, the illustration, that was 17 years ago, and now she's been published in many magazines. She actually has a book contract now, all because her husband inspired courage. All right, the husband, you know, and it was just, you know, simple words of affirmation, but that's when it's real encouragement that in the area of insecurity, you're able to inspire courage in that person. I can remember when I was going to school, when I was in university, you know, and I played basketball in high school, and I was a decent player, you know, and I didn't know if my game was up to the next level to play in university. But I had a good friend of mine in school. This is at Southern California College, and I had a good friend of mine that said, "You know, Sam, I think you can do this thing, you know, and I've hung out with the other guys on the team, and I think you're as skilled as any of those other guys." You know, and I was, you know, and obviously, you, especially for a guy, right, athletic ability, you know, and especially, you know, for like a jock like me and stuff, and you know, it's kind of, you feel a bit insecure, but his words inspired, right, courage in me, and I tried out for the team. I made a team. I only lasted a month, but at least I made a team, right, you know, and stuff. So, you know, it was just kind of the words that he had spoke really kind of did something inside of me. I said, "Why not? Why not?" Right, that's how you know you're really encouraging someone, right? You dig deep into the area. And not that you have to find out their insecurity, because you may not even know what it is. Because usually we're not ones that very, you know, easily share our insecurities to everyone. We hide it between layer and layer and layer and layer. You know, but it's interesting that we can speak a word, right? Just like the word says, right? Death and life in the power of the tongue. So life is that we can speak that word and inspire courage in areas that we feel insecure in. Right? That's what love is. That's what it's all about. You know, I can remember in our basketball team, you know, our church team, SP team, and we're, you know, I think we're is towards the end of the game, and you know, Nate was, I think, on the free throw. It was either Nate or Kenny, right? And not the greatest free throw shooters, you know, but it's okay. I know that's not very encouraging, but I have to just draw the story up for you, right? And so they're on the free throw line. It's towards the end of the game. You know, and so, you know, they got fouled and they're on the free throw line. We called a timeout, came to the side of the court. You know, and I can remember because I remember speaking these words very specific because I wanted to put something in their psyche. And I think it was Nate. And said, "Nate, after you make the free throw shot, we're going to do this, da, 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 da." Right? Made it very, I don't know if anyone else caught it on the team, right? But I said, "After you make the shot." You know, and I'm sure that he's feeling very, you know, and so everyone on the team is like, "Yeah, you're going to make it, Nate. Don't worry, da, da, da," you know? And stuff, and that's inspiring courage, you know. And if I do remember, I think you did make the shot. It was really good, man, right? And we went on to win the game, right, and the championship, and, you know, on and on and on and on, all these things, right? But it's when, right, not if, you know. And there's, I mean, that's just a little thing there, but there's so many different ways that we can inspire courage in people around us, right? I mean, there's so many different ways. You know, I could, you know, I just use Sean as another example, right? Since he's going to be my amazing race buddy. You know, his face is getting red. Take it easy, man. Don't worry, right? You know, but I was watching on TV. I was watching, I don't know if you guys on AXN, they've been showing the Singapore, the magic thing. What's it called? Like, Mambo Magic or something, right? And there's these two guys doing magic and stuff. I remember watching that, and I remember just calling Sean. I said, "Sean, did you see this Mondo Magic deal they have? Dude, you're better than those guys are, man." you know, why don't you launch out and why don't you do, you know, and look, he was already sensing that. He was always already feeling something in his heart. But I know that in other times, it was kind of an area of insecurity. You know, can I really go off on my own? Can I, you know, and God's been encouraging all along because people like you guys, you know, people like myself, people all around him says, Sean, you can do it. You know, I mean, you're talented, man. You're skilled. I mean, you're better than those guys are. Now, obviously, you know, it's not good to knock other people down to lift someone else up. So it's probably a bad example of mine, right? That's not exact, but, you know, you got. I don't know those guys, so it still doesn't matter. I'm sorry. I should just redo this whole sermon right now. You know, but that's what it is. Think about it. Latent potential in people could be waiting for that word of affirmation to bring it about. Can you, I mean, just look around this room right now, right? Just look all over this room, right? Okay, look around, you know, move your necks a little bit. And, you know, there could be latent potential in people sitting right next to you, and all that potential needs is someone to speak that word that will inspire courage, that will encourage. A lot of times that's all it takes. You know, if you look back into your life, you know, and think about the times throughout your life that you were propelled to do something, where you advanced or you moved on in something, it's because there was someone significant in your life that came alongside and inspired courage in you and lifted you up, right? And you moved on. That's life. That's love. You know, this is what we need to be doing all the time, right? These are words of affirmation. You know, and I mean, really take it to heart, man. I really believe this. You know, that there are people that have got this potential inside dying to be released. And it's going to take that word of faith. It's going to take that word of encouragement to inspire that courage, right? You know, it very well may be that air of insecurity, right, is just, you know, is ready to die off. Right, with that simple, encouraging word. Words of affirmation. Now, we read in the beginning of 1 Corinthians, we read that love is kind. Right? And so if we are to communicate love verbally, we must use kind words. Now, what I mean by kind words is, this deals with the way that you speak. Right? You know, boyfriend and girlfriend, right, are sitting in a very romantic dinner, you know, and they're, you know, looking, staring into each other's eyes, you know, and the one turns to the other and says, I love you, with tenderness and meaning. I was trying to be serious in that one, right? And then the other person responds back, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know. What I'm trying to say is, a lot of times it's not just the words. Most times it's the way that you speak those words, right? Love is kind. What I mean by kind words, I'm not just talking about being nice, right? Or saying nice things. I'm actually talking about being nice. You know, you say these words in a way, right, that the person that receives it, right, that it's kind of the emotion that they get or they receive from it fits the words that you're sharing with someone. You know, I mean, we've been in places and, you know, this is actually a very common thing that guys do all the time, right? We say things with the wrong tone of voice and we blow it, man. You know what I mean? I mean, I'll be honest, this is my biggest failure as a husband, right? Because I say things and my tone is so bad. You know, I just don't know what it is. You know, a lot of it is actually my sense of humor. You know, most times my wife doesn't know if I'm kidding or not because my tone doesn't change. You know, and so she mistakes it as, you know, that, you know, blah, blah, and, you know, it always messes me up. Right? Tone is very important. The way you say things is very, very important. You know, I mean, how many of us have been messed up, you know, because our parents, you know, or some senior people have said very nice things to us, but said in a way that wasn't very nice, you know, and it just ruins, you know, and even that phrase could just be ruined forever, you know what I mean? And it just brings a weight to us, right? Love is kind. You know, love, these kind words said very tenderly, can be a genuine expression of love, right? You know, sometimes our words are saying one thing, you know, but our tone is saying something totally different, right? This we need to get up, right? Love is kind. You know, there's an old proverb that says, a soft answer turns away anger. Right? A soft answer turns away anger. You know, so we need to be very, very careful, right? Not just about what we say, but really about how we say the things that we do say. Now, it's going to require a little more effort, right? And it is. It's going to require a little bit more time. But isn't that what this whole thing is all about? Isn't that what it's going to be really do to or really have to happen for us to really love? You know, there's effort, right? There's discipline. We said before, right? Love is a choice. And also in this words of affirmation, right? As we affirm each other and whatnot, right? Love just requests. It does not demand, right? This goes back to the way we say things. You know, we can sit and say, you know, Lisa, I just love your kimchi jjigae. Right? We haven't had it in a while. Can we have some kimchi jjigae? I would just love that. That's like the kimchi soup, right? I would just love to have that kimchi soup. You know, that could be one way of saying it. The other way of saying it would be, man, we haven't had kimchi soup in a long time. You know? What's up with this, man? You know, it's just, you know, when's the next time we're going to have kimchi soup, man? You know what I mean? Love does not demand, right? Love is the way we say things, right? Love makes requests. It's totally different. I know it's humorous and these kind of things, but I just think about it. Think about people significant to you. Think about the way that you express that love to people. Are they receiving it the way that you intended to receive it? You know? Because can I say something? When it comes to communicating and when it comes to affirming these kind of things, your intentions mean squat. Did you know that? You know, this was the major breakthrough for my wife and I in our relationship. Because I said things, you know, but my intentions were pure. I mean, me. You know? I mean, really. I mean, they were honest. They were pure. I said things, though, you know, and she did not receive them in that way. But I just held my guns because that's my intention was pure. And we finally got to a point where we both said to each other, it doesn't matter what you intend. What matters is how the other person receives what you say and what you do. And when we came to that base, just the foundation of that, our whole relationship, our discussion with each other changed. Because it doesn't matter what I intend. What matters is how the other person receives what I've done or what I've said. Right? It doesn't matter in your heart how much you love that person. Right? If what you say and what you do, if it's interpreted to the other person as not being loving, that's what matters. Because that's what matters to the other person. Right? I mean, think about it. We all know that our parents love us. But yet our parents have said things to us that jacked us up. Right? Because the way we received it, you know, was different than the way they intended for us to receive it. Right? And that's just relationships. You know, and so we need to come to a realization and come to this idea for each one of us. Right? Love, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Right? Love language number one, words of affirmation. Right? For some of you, right, I mean, if a significant person in your life came and spoke to you that word of affirmation, that would make your day. That would make your year. You know, if that's the case, that's probably your primary love language, right? You need to hear encouragement. Now, listen very carefully. It doesn't mean that you're weak. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that you're a fragile person. It doesn't mean that you're insecure. No, it doesn't. It's just your love language, right? That's just how you receive love. Is words of affirmation, words of encouragement. You know, and you know what will probably happen? You'll probably get together with some guy or some girl, right, that operates in encouragement, right, that has a gift of encouragement, as you know, that's Barnabas. You know, and as a result, man, you're just going to click with each other that way. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a mutually beneficial relationship when that happens, right? Words of affirmation. You know, for some of us, this could be your primary love language. You know, you know, and it doesn't mean that you're a slick, silver tongue guy or, you know, a girl or anything like that. But you just are very comfortable. You're so easy for you to just encourage people. You know, it just comes out of you. You know, it just comes and just stirs. You know, I think actually Jimmy is one of these guys. It's a gift of encouragement. And you get around Jimmy, and I guarantee you, you're going to feel encouraged. You know what I mean? It's just like a done deal because the gift flows through him, right? And so one of his probably Jimmy's primary love language is words of affirmation. And he's just throwing these things out and just boom. And for people that really are deprived, it hits home. Oh, right? It brings life to them. You know, and so this is what we're trying to find out. We're trying to figure out, well, how do I become loving? You know, how can I share not only God's love with others, but how can I be in relationship and communicate effectively and walk in fellowship and relationship with people around us? You know, a good clue for us is to find out what our love language is. You know, let's use these words. And if yours is the words of affirmation, let's use our words to build up. Right? Let's use our words to inspire courage. I love that definition. I never heard it before. You know, to inspire courage. You know, that we can speak that word into people's life, especially where there's insecurity, and draw them into the place of their potential. You know, let's use our words of affirmation to build up. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Forgot to say this, but you know, we need to be careful a lot of times too when we try to encourage. Because even though you may mean to encourage, you can actually be built or cutting down very easily. You know, sometimes when we feel like we're doing something good, but the way the person receives it may not be that good at all. I'll give you an example. Some of you guys look at me funny, right? Example is if someone could say, you know, I encourage you to lose some weight. You know? That could not be very encouraging at all. But the person may, because, you know, oh yeah, for your health and well-being, blah, 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 blah. But the way the person receives it, man, that's what really counts. Words of affirmation. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit inspire you to inspire confidence in others around you. Now, this may not be your primary love language, but we can all grow in this. I mean, really, every one of us, we can all really grow. And so I just want to encourage you to go before the Lord. And I know that this is one of Jesus' primary gifts. And I know Jesus wants to encourage you, to inspire courage in you. And just listen. This week, if you're keeping track, we're going to celebrate someone else this week. We say we're going to try to pick one person for the rest of this year to celebrate. Now, as you're kind of pinpointing who this person is going to be for this week, why don't you use words of affirmation to inspire courage in this person? Pray. Father, we thank you so much, God. Lord, we ask that you would come and speak those words of affirmation into our lives. Lord, and release to us the gift to encourage, God, to inspire courage in people all around us, Lord. Lord, that we would use our tongues, God, to build up. Lord, we would use, God, our attitudes and our words, God, to really lift people up, Lord. Would you draw us to you, Jesus? Teach us to be kind. Teach us to really love. Lord, we bless you. I want to encourage you to just continue to go before the Lord as the worship team makes their way up. And let's think about, how can I affirm people around me? And the people that we're trying to love, how can I affirm them with my words? Why don't we all stand before the Lord? Let's sing together as we close our service today. Next to you. Now we're going to pray for each one of us on the person on the left and right of you. But as we pray, as you pray for that person, I want you to think about how you can encourage that person. How can you inspire courage in that person? And then after we finish praying, this is going to challenge you a little bit, but I want you to encourage that person face to face on the left and right. Can we do this? Right? It doesn't matter if you don't know the person. It's probably even better. Right? So let's pray for each other right now. Person in the eye and inspire them. This works, just look around and see all the smiles on everyone's face. Right? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, God. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you have always offered us those words of affirmation. God, ultimately, Jesus, you are the one that's inspiring courage in each one of us, God. And Lord, give us that courage, God, to really love others around us, Lord. Lord, give us strategies, Father God. Give us ideas, plans, Lord, that we can really, Lord, use to love one another. God, we thank you for this church, God. And I thank you for brothers and sisters, Lord, that have inspired me courageously, God. And allow me to be the ones to inspire others as well. And let this, Lord, really flow throughout this whole church, God. And let it flow to our families, Lord. And then to our workplaces, God. And then to the marketplace, Lord. God, use us, God, we pray. Lord, this week, God, allow us to give your Son glory in the way that we celebrate one another. God, we thank you. We bless you. We love you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen. Amen. Why don't you hug someone next to you and say, God bless you. Thanks for the words of encouragement. Have a great week this week.